Chapter 78. A pack of hopeless lunatics. At last, here were the Ild, free sons of the desert, speeding over the plain like the wind, on their beautiful Arabian mares we had read so much about and longed so much to see. Here were the picturesque costumes. This was the Allant spectacle. Tatarnamalian vagrants, cheap braggadocio Arabian mares spined and necked like the ichthyosaurus in the museum, and humped and cornered like a dromedary. To glance at the genuine son of the desert is to take the romance out of him forever. To behold his steed is to long in charity to strip his harness off and let him fall to pieces. Presently we came to a ruinous old town on a hill, the same being the ancient Jezreel. Ahab, king of Samaria, this was a very vast kingdom for those days, and was very nearly half as large as Rhode Island, dwelt in the city of Jezreel, which was his capital. Near him lived a man by the name of Naboth, who had a vineyard. The king asked him for it, and when he would not give it, offered to buy it. But Naboth refused to sell it. In those days it was considered a sort of crime to part with one's inheritance at any price, and even if a man did part with it, it reverted to himself or his heirs again at the next jubilee year. So this spoiled child of a king went and lay down on the bed with his face to the wall, and grieved sorely. The queen, a notorious character in those days, and whose name is a byword and a reproach even in these, came in and asked him wherefore he sorrowed, and he told her. Jezebel said she could secure the vineyard, and she went forth and forged letters to the nobles and wise men in the king's name, and ordered them to proclaim a fast and set Naboth on high before the people, and suborn two witnesses to swear that he had blasphemed. They did it, and the people stoned the accused by the city wall, and he died. Then Jezebel came and told the king, and said, "Behold, Naboth is no more. Rise up and seize the vineyard." So Ahab seized the vineyard and went into it to possess it. But the prophet Elijah came to him there and read his fate to him and the fate of Jezebel, and said that in the place where dogs licked the blood of Naboth, dogs should also lick his blood. And he said, "Likewise, the dogs should eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel." In the course of time, the king was killed in battle, and when his chariot wheels were washed in the pool of Samaria, the dogs licked the blood. In after years, Jehu, who was king of Israel, marched down against Jezreel, by order of one of the prophets, and administered one of those convincing rebukes so common among the people of those days. He killed many kings and their subjects, and as he came along he saw Jezebel, painted and finely dressed, looking out of a window, and ordered that she be thrown down to him. A servant did it, and Jehu's horse trampled her underfoot. Then Jehu went in and sat down to dinner, and presently he said, "Go and bury this cursed woman, for she is a king's daughter." The spirit of charity came upon him too late, however, for the prophecy had already been fulfilled. The dogs had eaten her, and they found no more of her than the skull, and the feet, and the palms of her hands. Ahab, the late king, had left a helpless family behind him, and Jehu killed 70 of the orphan sons. Then he killed all the relatives, and teachers, and servants and friends of the family, and rested from his labors, until he was come near to Samaria, where he met 42 persons, and asked them who they were. They said they were brothers of the king of Judah. He killed them. When he got to Samaria, he said he would show his zeal for the Lord. So he gathered all the priests and people together that worshipped Baal, pretending that he was going to adopt that worship, and offer up a great sacrifice. And when they were all shut up where they could not defend themselves, he caused every person of them to be killed. Then Jehu, the good missionary, rested from his labors once more. We went back to the valley, and rode to the fountain of Ain Gelad. They call it the fountain of Jezreel, usually. It is a pond about 100 feet square and 4 feet deep, with a stream of water trickling into it from under an overhanging ledge of rocks. It is in the midst of a great solitude. Here Gideon pitched his camp in the old times, Behind Shunem lay the Edionites, the Amalekites, and the children of the east, who were as grasshoppers for multitude. Both they and their camels were without number, as the sand by the seaside for multitude. Which means that there were 135,000 men, and that they had transportation service accordingly. Gideon, with only 300 men, surprised them in the night, and stood by and looked on while they butchered each other until 120,000 lay dead on the field. We camped at Jenin before night, and got up and started again at 1 o'clock in the morning. Somewhere towards daylight we passed the locality, where the best authenticated tradition locates the pit into which Joseph's brethren threw him, and about noon, after passing over a succession of mountaintops, clad with groves of fig and olive trees, with the Mediterranean in sight some 40 miles away, and going by many ancient biblical cities whose inhabitants glowered savagely upon our Christian procession, and were seemingly inclined to practice on it with stones, we came to the singularly terraced and unlovely hills, that betrayed that we were out of Galilee and into Samaria at last. We climbed a high hill, to visit the city of Samaria, where the woman may have hailed from who conversed with Christ at Jacob's well, and from whence, no doubt, came also the celebrated Good Samaritan. Herod the Great is said to have made a magnificent city of this place, and a great number of coarse limestone columns, 20 feet high and 2 feet through, that are almost guiltless of architectural grace of shape and ornament, are pointed out by many authors as evidence of the fact. They would not have been considered handsome in ancient Greece, however. The inhabitants of this camp are particularly vicious, and stoned 2 parties of our pilgrims a day or two ago who brought about the difficulty, by showing their revolvers, when they did not intend to use them, a thing which is deemed bad judgment in the Far West, and ought certainly to be so considered anywhere. In the new territories, when a man puts his hand on a weapon, he knows that he must use it. He must use it instantly, or expect to be shot down where he stands. Those pilgrims had been reading Grimes. There was nothing for us to do in Samaria, but buy handfuls of old Roman coins at a franc a dozen, and look at a dilapidated church of the Crusaders, and a vault in it which once contained the body of John the Baptist. This relic was long ago carried away to Genoa. Samaria stood a disastrous siege, once, in the days of Elisha, at the hands of the king of Syria. Provisions reached such a figure, that Manasseh's head was sold for 80 pieces of silver, and the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. An incident recorded of that heavy time, will give one a very good idea of the distress, that prevailed within these crumbling walls. As the king was walking upon the battlements one day, a woman cried out, saying, "Help, my lord, O king!" And the king said, "What aileth thee?" And she answered, "This woman said unto me, Give thy son, that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow." So we boiled my son, and did eat him, and I said unto her on the next day, "Give thy son, that we may eat him," and she hath hid her son. The prophet Elisha declared that within 24 hours the prices of food should go down to nothing, almost, and it was so. The Syrian army broke camp and fled. For some cause or other, the famine was relieved from without, and many a shoddy speculator in dove's dung and ass's meat was ruined. We were glad to leave this hot and moldy old village and hurry on. At 2 o'clock we stopped to lunch, and rest at ancient Shechem, between the historic mounts of Gerizim and Ebal, where in the old times the books of the law, the curses and the blessings, were read from the heights to the Jewish multitudes below. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.